What's up, Duke gang? It's Monday, December 11th, and a little switch up from usual. Today, I'm here to talk about a loss. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you know Duke lost. Now 11-1 on the season, and we'll get into it in a minute. I think I'm okay with it. You know, it sucks. I'm not going to be saying that Duke's undefeated until they're not, and until they lose a game, then I'll be saying they're undefeated and all that. Well, you know, they're not undefeated, so it's all good. It's probably kind of good to get that loss out of the way early and kind of have a wake-up call, but at the same time, you don't ever want to lose. And for this team, they should never lose. It's all about, do they execute their game plan? Do they stay locked in for the full 40 minutes? And do they make the necessary adjustments during the game? If they do that, then with their talent, they shouldn't lose. As you saw, that they did none of that, basically. And they caught that loss pretty early, the very first game in the conference. Starting off right in conference play, last. So it's going to be okay, and it's going to be good to learn from that, but it kind of just sucked, you know. Like, I wasn't completely mad at the end of the game like usual, where I would just want to break things and act stupid and be a little kid about it. It was more of the fact that just, like, they got away with so much of all those crazy comebacks recently, you know, against Florida and Texas and things like that, that, and even beating Michigan State without Bagley, getting away with so much and proving so much so early, it was like, to take this loss, it was like, I guess they kind of had it coming. Like, but for this game, you know, it was back and forth, and we'll get into it. First of all, the defense is not good, obviously. But playing at Boston College, I mean, they're shooting 31% on the year. And they're, you know, their three-point shooting is not their strong suit. It's not something that, going in against Boston College, like, you better watch out for their threes. They'll keep themselves in the game with their threes. Like, it's not like that. So if that team is taking, I mean, how many threes did they take? I know they hit 15 threes. 15 for 26 from three. That's 58%. They shot better from three as they did from, you know, the entire field goal percentage was only 50. And their three-point percentage was 58%, hit 15 threes. Duke has been on the other side of that before also. You know, we have been the team who was undermanned, not as much talent as another team, not as deep as another team, but we still beat the team because we hit 20 threes or 18 threes. So you've been on that side. You know what it's like to just have some flamethrowers and live by the three. But they're not known for that. So some people are complaining that Duke's defense is terrible and a lot of wide open threes. Others are saying that team taking threes, that's okay because they're terrible at threes. And then some people are in the middle. You can have your own opinion of that. For me, I just think the defense has to get better. It seems like this is going to be a zone team. But, I mean, it's so early in the year, I don't really know, and I'm not going to definitively say it was their fault that Boston College did so well or that Boston College was just extremely hot this game. I mean, I think it was a combination of everything. So it sucked either way, but hopefully they can take something out of it. The thing that made me the most, like, not upset, but the thing that made me just say, like, what the fuck are they doing? Was just the fact that, you know, not getting it to Bagley and Carter fast enough and not getting it to them enough. Some say Bagley should touch the ball every possession as soon as possible. And until somebody does something about it, I kind of agree. I mean, inside out is the way they need to play. What I think is they need to get the ball to Bagley and Carter or any other big man that's down low as quick as possible. Give them time to work, get it to them as low in the paint as possible. And if the double happens, I've said it time and time again, make the right play out of the double team. Sometimes if somebody's double teaming Bagley, it's still not enough to handle him. But even if he gets double team, triple team, whatever, I trust him and I think they can trust him to make the right play out of that. For the most, you know, high percentage, he will make the right play. And he didn't get the ball enough. And then if you want to say Carter didn't get the ball enough, that's fair too. I mean, Marvin Bagley had 11 field goal attempts. And 4 of them were threes. That's not okay. I know he can hit the three. But what I'm saying is, Grayson Allen had 20 shots. Duvall had 10 shots. Gary Trent had 15 shots. Wendell Carter Jr. and Marvin Bagley only had 11 shots and 8 shots, 5 of which were threes. That's not okay for this team. They were never out of it far enough. Don't say like, oh, I wish we could have a bunch of good three-point shooters and shoot ourselves back into the game real quick. Yeah, that's great and all. But also, if you get the ball in the paint and take high percentage shots, which Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter, their definition is high percentage shots, then you get on the defensive end and make the appropriate stops like you should, you don't ever even need a three. And that's just a fact, but it's not like they don't have the capability to hit the three. It's just that's the talent that this team has and that's the way they should use it. And even Coach K said, we didn't get the ball to the right people at the right time, and we didn't get the ball to the right people enough. And what he's talking about is Bagley. If Grayson Allen has 20 shots, then Bagley should have 30 shots. If, you know, so that's, I mean, man, it sucks to see that. That's, I'm trying to total it up, but I'm a little slow right now. That's 45 shots for Grayson, Duvall, and Gary Trent Jr. compared to 19 shots for Carter and Bagley. It's usually not that lopsided. It's usually not that much of an advantage to the guards, and it shouldn't be. But you saw in the game that they just didn't get the ball to Bagley enough. And I don't know if he was mad about it, or if he said anything to anybody, or if he, like, if the coach made it a point. You know, Coach K and the coaching staff is telling them what needs to be done, and it just seems like it didn't happen. It seemed like they were kind of rattled. Like, I like when Duke pushes the pace, when they push the pace the correct way, which is getting stops, getting out in transition, having numbers, and making the right pass, or, you know, the appropriate fast break. I don't like when the other team makes a shot, which they were doing a hell of a lot of, and then Duke inbounds it, and then one of the guards tries to go 5-on-1 and take a terrible shot. So if you're not getting stops and getting out in transition, then Duke's good at slowing the pace and playing their pace, not somebody else's pace. Especially when Boston College is flame-throwing threes every possession. So it seems like they didn't really slow the pace. They seem sporadic. They seem not together as a unit. And that's on both ends of the floor. And you saw that. And like I said, Bagley only having 11 shots. And he played every single minute of the game, and he had 11 shots. That's an easy way to have a close game with a team that you should beat. You know, Duke was favored by 15 points, I think. And I mean, just everything with this game was just, like, cringeworthy. Like, what? At times, you know, it looks like Grayson's kind of doing a little too much and getting kind of emotional. They're being rough and kind of pushing him around, and the crowd's going crazy. The players are getting hype, and it just looked like he was a little emotional and doing a little too much and trying to do everything on his own. You know, he shot 5 for 20, 1 for 9 from three. So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily help anything. And then Gary Trent was hot, and even for him, it was like he's not, you know, you could have rode him a little more. He was hot. And all of those things combined, you know, it's like the narrative is just the young team in a true away game, they kind of crumbled. And I didn't really – I should probably watch the game again to sort of look for the things that I wasn't necessarily looking for at 12 p.m. on a Saturday while I'm sitting there like, are we really about to lose? By the way, I don't really like 12 p.m. games, and I just like night games, whether it's playing in a night game or what I think other people would like playing in or watching a night game. Like, I feel like a 7 p.m. game is so much better than a 12 p.m. game, especially when you're the ones having to travel. So, I mean, it just seems like it's a little tough to get the energy and the hype and the fire going behind you at 12 p.m. But I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of 12 p.m. games. And what I was going to say was, it just seemed like nobody really got the team together and was like, hey, let's wake the fuck up. Let's execute our game plan. Let's play our game and let's win this thing. It seemed like everybody was just kind of like, oh, fuck, we just fucked up. We did this. Damn it, I'm mad. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Grayson got his fucking head stepped on by Javon, had a black-ass eye because Javon wants to start so bad. He's hurting all the players. Not really, but if you didn't see it, I mean, Grayson drew a charge and Javon blocked the ball. And Javon's foot kind of smacked Grayson across the eye on the way down. And, I mean, that didn't help. I mean, Grayson's taking some hits. He's diving, like, every play, taking contact on the layups that when he drives to the basket. And then on defense, he's, you know, he hustles and he throws his body out there. I mean, you know he's going to get banged up again. It's only a matter of time, and you saw it in that game. I just hope he can kind of just find a way to mitigate the injuries and just stay as healthy as possible. Just the moral of the loss was just almost every single person on the team wasn't playing their role. This team is so young, you have to find your role. But once you do find it and the coaching staff is there to help you find it, you have to play within your role. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to, like, if you do something that's not within your role, then it's probably hurting the team. Because there's no shortages on this team. The only shortage is three-point shooting, which they don't really need anyway because of the inside-out game that they should be playing. So, I mean, that's that. Other than that, there was a bunch of videos being released of the a couple offensive fouls and a couple defensive fouls that were clearly just not fouls, which were, again, you know, on Duke, which really fucked up the flow of the game. I'm not going to sit here and come on here and say, the refs fuck everything up. I hate the refs. Duke only has a loss because the refs want them to lose. Like, I'm not going to say that. That's never the case. But terrible calls are terrible calls, and you can see them. And other people will say, well, when it's slowed down, when you see it in slow motion, everything looks different. Like, no. Usually when you slow something down, you see that it was a foul. In full speed, these did not look like fouls at all. And in slow motion, you could tell that they weren't fouls at all. Bagley has size, and he uses his body and size to properly get position and, you know, on offense and defense, gets called for a foul. Crazy stuff like that. It's just like, are you serious? Like, you got to let the dudes rebound. They're bigger than other people. They're going to get position. They're going to use their length, their size. You have to let them. Just because they're big, you don't call fouls because they're big. They're not doing something illegal, which will be a foul. It just seems like the refs can't see that, or, you know, whatever the fuck it is. That was an issue in the second half that really messed up the flow of the game and kind of might have decided it. But again, Duke shouldn't have been in that position anyway. They shouldn't have been close. Their offense shouldn't have, you know, should have put up way better numbers than it did. And they shouldn't have been in that close of a position anyway. But the facts are the facts. Same thing with, you know, Duval. He did some bonehead stuff at the end of the game. That intentional foul or whatever it was, whether you agree with it or not, you got to know not to do that. It basically sealed the deal for Boston College. Whether they were going to win anywhere or not, it put it out of reach. And you just got to know not to do that in that situation. Just like, I mean, we've seen young players make young player mistakes. That's one of them. Now, another thing where he took that three, you know, that's probably not what you want to take. I mean, his three-point percentage is not high. Gary Trent was hot, and in that position where they need a bucket late in the game, you got to get the ball down low to Bagley as fast as possible. That's the best option at that time to score a bucket. That Chiapet guy, he had four fouls for, like, the whole second half. You know, he put up 30 points, 9 assists, 10 rebounds. And he had four fouls half the time. You know, they're not a deep team. They ran, you know, six guys got meaningful minutes. And with the way, the size of Duke, somebody should have fouled out. Some more people should have been in foul trouble. They should have been more worried about fouling. That should have been the narrative for Duke, is using size to the advantage, using their skill to the advantage, getting people in foul trouble, you know, the depth, everything about it. That's what the narrative should have been. Instead, the narrative is young team, true road game, look sporadic, couldn't come together and pay the price for it, which was a loss. But again, like, you see people bashing Duval, like the dude, I'm not even going to get into it, the dude that, you know, anybody that if you tweet about, I hope this player gets hurt, I hope this player tears his ACL, I hope this player breaks his leg. Should never tweet that about anybody. You should never think that about anybody, say that about anybody on an opposing team, or especially this dumb motherfucker. It was his own team. Apparently, he's a Duke fan. Duke's number one fan or whatever. But you tweet something like that, you are a fucking idiot. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to give that dude any attention whatsoever, but the thing with Duval is he's a freshman. There's so many freshmen on this team. They haven't been on the big college stage before. This is their first time. This is their first conference game. Bonehead things happen. Again, you can blame the game on him. You can blame it on Bagley. You can blame it on the coach. You can blame it on whoever you want. Whoever made a mistake, it just adds to the other mistakes of the team didn't execute what they should have done, and, you know, they should never have been in that position in the first place late in the game where he took that three. Definitely should have got a bucket there, like a high-quality percentage shot to basically kind of build the gap of the lead that they had at the time, which was like 1 point or something, 2, 3, 4, And then, you know, a couple fouls that were completely unwarranted where, you know, you can't do that. But you're going to learn, improve, and move on. So that's what it's all about. This isn't a team with four seniors in the starting lineup, so you're going to see stuff like that. And, you know, I hope that whoever is feeling down about that game, I hope they can move on from it and not let the negativity on Twitter or the media or whatever the fuck it is get to them, because it's only going to get worse from here. You know, all these players, they're only going to get bigger as far as their name. They're only going to get more popular, more followers. And with more followers, there's more hate. Whenever you're doing something good, people are going to hate on you. If you have a slip-up, people are going to troll you. I mean, I hope the players can understand that, because especially when you sign up to play at Duke, the haters come with it, because people hate on greatness. The term I heard was, winners focus on winning and losers focus on winners. So that's a, I'm not sure if I got it completely right, but that's a pretty cool quote. So just focus on winning and don't worry about the negativity. The only thing other than that is, you know, it was like, I felt like O'Connell should have got more than 2 minutes. Maybe spell one of the guards and throw O'Connell out there. His shot has been hot recently. He's looked good recently. He's made good plays recently. He's not that great on defense. Who is at this point? But I thought he should have got a few more minutes than two. I mean, if some of those shots that Duval took, or even some of those shots that Grayson took, were O'Connell, you know, if we're just not getting the ball to Bagley and we're taking threes, like, O'Connell's one of the guys that won't throw one up. Also, you know, he crashes the boards. He's sky high to get a rebound. He has, you know, quick feet, good moves, and he gets some layups, putbacks. You've seen it all from him so far. So why do you only get 2 minutes? Goldbar played like 28 seconds. Bolden played 8 minutes. And then Javin played 17 minutes, you know, 4 for 4, 5 rebounds, but he fouled out. So, you know, some questionable calls for sure. Wendell Carter didn't have a single foul, which I thought was incredible. He's been getting shafted all year. He's also done some, you know, you commit fouls, it happens, you're a freshman. He's also been getting the shaft. Yeah, he had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 29 minutes. Like I said, he only took 8 shots. Bagley only had 11. I can't stress that enough. He should never have 11 shots. Like, what? Especially against a team where they're undersized and have no depth. We're not using the weapons the correct way. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily complaining. The loss is the loss. Move on. Win or lose, you gotta improve. That's such a corny line that I just said. I didn't mean to rhyme that, but either way, it's all about improving. And if you lose, you definitely have room for improvement. So that should be their mindset going into this break. As you know, or if you don't, they will not play again until December 20th at 7 p.m. on ESPN2 against Evansville. So that's at Duke. They should win. And then December 30th, 2 p.m., they have a tough game against Florida State. I think Florida State is still unbeaten right now. Number 19 team in the country. It's at Duke, which is a good thing. But that's going to be a tough game. Seems like the Florida teams always give Duke a hard time. It just always seems that way. I feel like Miami and Florida State always have at least one 35-year-old on the team. Like, always. Now, he's a double graduate transfer major. He's only 31. He's still got 4 years of eligibility at Florida or Miami or wherever. I'm like, Jesus, this dude has to be 40. And we play with a bunch of, like, 17-year-olds on our team. So that's some, you know, there'll be some tough games. conference is always tough, as you saw on Saturday. And then NC State after that, and then Pitt after that. So, I mean, getting into the heart of conference play, and I feel like every conference game is a tough game, and if you're not on your A game, one can slip away just like that, and we've already saw that. So Duke slipped to number 4 in the rankings, followed by Villanova's moving up to 1. They're in a trash conference, so they'll probably stay there for a while, maybe all year. Michigan State's up to 2. You know, Duke beat them, but they've looked great as of late. Wichita State is 3. And Duke's 4, Kentucky's 5. Arizona State 6, coached by Bobby Hurley. They beat Kansas. A lot of people would say that they should be higher, and, I mean, you can agree with that. And then UNC is at 7, followed by Miami at 8. Miami's still unbeaten. So that's 3 ACC teams in the top 10. And then you got Virginia right there at 16, Notre Dame right there at 18, and Florida State right there at 19. So, I mean, as usual, the ACC is no joke. That's a given. Everyone knows it. And people talking shit about Duke or whoever else, I just wish someone like Kentucky or whoever else just played in the ACC. It would be hilarious. But I like the tough conference play because it makes for a lot of good games. You become battle-tested. That's a fact that Duke is becoming battle-tested already, and conference play just started. So they're only going to get better from here. A lot to work on, a lot to improve. And like I said, like, the main thing is just utilize the weapons the correct way. And when you have weapons, use them. You know what I mean? We need good point guard play. Need high percentage shots. Need to dominate the boards. And utilize Bagley and Carter. And then maybe give the bench guys a few more minutes as well. Like, I'm not a coach, so I don't know. But I don't see why O'Connell got 2 minutes. So those things are very important. And like I said, it just seemed like nobody really corralled the team together and was like, come on, what the fuck are we doing? Like, you could see in the Florida game and a few other games where it was like the team got together and they were like, it kind of seemed like Grayson or Bagley or Javin or somebody really got the team together and was like, we're good. Like, let's fucking go. Even Gary Trent, you know, like I said, I didn't really look for it because I was so in the moment of the game, like what is going on? What is going on? We're going to lose. And it was like, we're up by 3. I'm like, oh, I think we're good. I think we're good. And then, nope. Which kind of sucked because anytime Duke's up by 3, 2, 1, whatever it is, with between 3 and a minute to go, I'm like, they're good. Like, they should be good. So I would like to see more of that. But, you know, they have a good break right now, and they have a lot to work on. So this definitely has a different little twist to it. But, you know, losses happen, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This is, you know, one of the first stages of the season, and it's a long way to go. So if this becomes a learning experience, then that's fine. You've seen it with past Duke teams taking early losses, and, you know, by March, you can't even remember that loss because they're so much of a different team. So that's what I think. 30 minutes in, 29 minutes in, that's enough for the loss podcast episode of, you know, Duke's first L. Congrats to Boston College. Everyone coming in my mentions who don't even follow me, who just said, oh, did Duke win? Like, asking me, like, you know they didn't. Please block me back. So I can't believe you have time to do that. But trolls are gonna troll. And you know every single media outlet and every quote-unquote college basketball expert analysis and everyone else has to get their tweets, their stories, their articles. Trolls have to get their tweets out. Duke loss is a holiday. Oh, my God. Like, okay, that's fine. We don't care what you think. Who do you pull for? Like, who do you like? Who's your team? I bet Duke has already or will whoop their ass pretty soon, so I get it. You're celebrating right now. That's fine. That's how I look at it. Like, I can't believe you have time to come tweet me, search my profile, etc., all that things, things of that nature. But if you staple yourself as a diehard Duke fan or whatever it is, you know, you sign up for that as well. So same way the players had to deal with hate, so does everybody else. Looking forward to what's next for the team. Is there any other key notes to cover? Jason Tatum looks like Jason Rookie of the Year, 3-point contest shooting winner, Tatum, which is great to see. Highest 3-point percentage in the NBA, which is pretty awesome right now. Kyrie's looking great. Ingram is coming on, looking great. So great to see the Duke players in the NBA. I know Jabari Parker's getting healthy as well. Hope he stays healthy this time. And then that's it. Other than that, my Twitter is full of Bitcoin news, which I don't know what the fuck that is, but I hate myself for not having any. So that's that. And NFL has been crazy. This Sunday, it was pretty wild. You know, you had Wentz going down with the ACL injury. I'm a Cowboys fan. You know, Cowboys are always going to let me down. I know what I sign up for, being raised as that. But you never want to see a guy get injured, especially probably the MVP of the NFL. So sports are, it's primetime sports right now. Little break in Duke basketball, but they'll be back ASAP like they never left, just like Grayson Allen. I appreciate all the listens. Saw a few reviews and some feedback. I appreciate that so much. It means a lot to me. And I like reading that stuff. I like chopping it up with everyone on social media. And like I said, I didn't want to sound too repetitive on these little episodes that I throw out every now and then. But I don't think this one was that repetitive because first loss of the season. Hope I don't have to say much else about losses this year. But, you know. That's my take on it, and whatever your take is, I'm sure you have one because everyone has an opinion and you're entitled to it. Thank you so much for the listens. We'll be back after this next win, and if I don't get it out before, well, yeah, I'll get one more out before Christmas, but either way, Merry Christmas, Merry Early Christmas, Happy Holidays. Talk to you soon, Duke Gang. Until then, we're out.